Welcome to today's Tea Podcast episode of Let's Talk Cloud Networking with your host, myself, John Gonzalez, and Numan Mustafa. So today we're really pleased to be joined by one of our most prominent customer solution architects, Mr. Jeffrey Duke. Jeffrey was formerly at Republic Airways. He was their most senior cloud architect and started and helped them on their cloud journey over there. And we're very lucky to have Jeff join us earlier this summer. And Jeff is working closely with some of our most high-profile customers. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to our podcast. Please take a few minutes, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background and your role at Republic and what you're doing over here for us today.
Sure. Hi, John. Hi, Numan. Glad to be here. Yep. I formerly came from Republic Airways, where I was the on-prem and cloud network architect for about 8 years. I've been in the industry for about 25 years. I would say 20 of those years as a networking engineer in all kinds of different fashions. My journey to the cloud was started at Republic, and I have a lot to talk about if that's short and sweet enough.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely perfect, Jeff. And Jeff, over at Republic, you actually became the Aviatrix customer champion, which meant that you had to take certain risks. You had to, with our technology, we were pretty, new to the game, unknown. Our development was, still underway. And yet you moved away from the traditional, let's go cloud native, let's try and do it all ourselves, especially for networking and network security. And you decided to put your bets with Aviatrix. Why was that?
Oh, well, that's a great question, John. I really put my bet on Aviatrix for many different reasons. The journey started with new leadership at Republic, probably in 2018, coming in and saying, "We're going to the cloud, and no one's going to stop us," right? And the foundation is always built first, right? You gotta build the network, you gotta build the network security, and then once you have that foundation in place, then you build upon that, right? So of course, leadership came to the networking team first, came to me, and really expressed, the urgency to get to the cloud. And, what was it going to take, Jeff? How are we going to get there? I've been an on-prem engineer for 20 years, and, to have a VP of IT, the CIO, basically come in and say, "Hey, we're going, you got to tell me." And this guy's brand new, so, my job's on the line. He's like, you better tell me, I better hear some good things. And, that's all I want to hear. I want to hear good things and how we're going to get there. And I want you to tell me what to do.
Right.
Because he was a firm believer in not asking, tell him what,
So, Jeff, great to have you on the show. One question I do have, and I think this probably will resonate to many senior cloud architects, network architects, security architects who have been doing a great job for the business in the on-prem world, right? And now their business and applications are moving to the cloud. So they have to take that role in the cloud as well, right? So now what I see is people are afraid of, right, is, I'm already used to on-prem vendors, right? Cisco, VMware, Juniper, how can I take risk, right, against them or recommending things that are against them? And also, if I'm AWS and Azure and GCP, maybe I should just go and build things on my own, because normally when you go to AWS, Azure, GCP, the first thing they will tell you is, we do everything you want, right, and all you have to do is just go quote-unquote build, right? And normally most of the enterprises, what they're saying is, we are not a software house and we focus on architecture, we focus on a platform approach. But this is part of that journey where network architects have to deal with, where, you know, there is one end where you have all these legacy on-prem trying to shove their on-prem stuff into the cloud. Then you have a CSP saying, go and build. And you must have seen that as part of your overall, you know, journey. How did you then navigate those scenarios and came up with Aviatrix as the clear winner, which I think has taken the journey forward?
I'll be honest a little bit here. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm totally honest, but I'll be honest about this a little bit. You know, I looked, my first initial reaction, because of, you know, the on-prem dinosaurs of the last 20 years, you know, what they have taught me, is my first thought was, how can I manage a Cisco product in the cloud? How can I, you know, somehow integrate, because I'm a Cisco on-prem networking engineer, how can I integrate Cisco into the cloud? And I jumped into CSR right away, just to see what it was about, how it worked, how it was in the cloud. I used it on-prem in virtual environments with VMware and, you know, NSX and, you know, different environments on-prem with the, you know, the V1000, you know, the CSR is basically the same thing, right? And I thought, well, maybe I could deploy that in the cloud and use my old, my old ideas in a brand new environment. Well, that was the wrong idea. It was the complete wrong idea, and I figured that out very quickly. I went to AWS, I went to Microsoft, and I, cause that's the two primary clouds that we were getting involved with. And I asked them, you know, show me what you would do to bring Republic to the cloud. Show me Amazon, show me, you know, Microsoft. And they had their own ideas. They had their own ways. They're completely different. You know, they're just from everything, from the actual, you know, interfaces that they use, from the code that they use, the best practices, the features and functionalities were different. And I found out real quick that this was going to be a mess. I was like, okay, now I got to go learn all about AWS and I got to go learn all about Azure. And I'm not going to go with the, you know, on-prem thoughts and ideas of moving my Cisco routers into the cloud, somehow, you know, building connectivity on-prem, because, you know, just accessing the cloud, you know, your cloud service providers and your Equinix, your Megaport, your all of those things were brand new and different as well, right? So I had to figure out, how am I going to get into the marketplaces? Which marketplaces do I go into? Do I go into Chicago? Do I go into, you know, Ashburn, Virginia? Mm-hmm. I want to get close to the cloud, you know, and I'm bringing in partners and I'm bringing in, you know, vendors and I'm picking everybody's brains and I'm bringing AT&T in and I'm bringing in CenturyLink and I'm looking at, you know, different solutions that they provide. And I mean, before I knew it, I realized it's a lot, it's a very much bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, incorporating all that and wrapping my arms around it and understanding it, really, I am so glad I found Aviatrix, because I kept digging and digging and digging and talking to Gartner and, you know, understanding, you know, from their aspects, you know, what made more sense, you know, is it multi-region, multi-cloud, is it multi-CSP, is it multi, you got to talk about availability zones, redundancy, resiliency. And I remember once a Gartner rep told me that you probably should think about going into three regions if you're going into Microsoft. one or two might not be enough. You might need that third. They have so many outages, this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, well, how can I uniform all of this together? You know, I'm in, you know, you think about it on-prem. Typically, engineering departments, network engineering and network security specifically, they're going to pick a vendor and they're going to use that vendor across all networking, right? You don't really like to mix your on-prem metro, WAN, LAN access, you know, your access layer, you know, you want a, you know, common, as they say it, I hate to say it, throat to choke. You want a single maintenance agreement that covers all of your equipment. You want to learn a single, you know, console or a single UI, or, you know what I mean? It that's what makes me sleep better at night. You know, we talk about what it takes to be a champion. Well, champions, especially for customers, champion those ideas, those disciplines. We want a single vendor. And, you know, it could be a single security vendor for my firewalls or a single security vendor for my routers. It could be a single security vendor, or I'm sorry, networking vendor for my switches. Or maybe my routing and switching is the same vendor. Or maybe my routing, switching, and firewalling is the same vendor. It depends, right? I mean, but you have to champion those ideas in front of leadership. You have to be passionate about them. You have to understand the products and understand what it takes to, you know, make it easier on the business to do what's right and, you know, and feel comfortable and prove it that it's the best, you know, right. Solution way to go. I don't know. I'm kind of running off in tangents.
No. It's good. So Jeff, just a little bit more on this. How much risk did you have to take in Champion Aviatrix, and how much passion did you have to put into convincing your new CIO and
leadership,
and including your own team?
Well, right? it was brand new, right? Nobody even heard of it.
And one more thing, Jeff, what's in it for you, right? So why did you do this? Right. So that's something that probably I think is a good message for all the other networking architects out there.
Definitely. So when I fell upon Aviatrix, and that's a whole story in its own, I won't get into that, but just know that I kind of tripped onto Aviatrix, and it was the best thing I've ever done in my life. But you know, it was brand new. Aviatrix was brand new. My leadership didn't know about it. My own networking team didn't know about it. My security team didn't know about it. My SysOps engineering teams didn't know anything about Aviatrix. I learned first. And after I went through and studied and researched, investigated, you know, it's like one of those things as a network engineer, you can't sleep well at night until you know your network is just like it should be, just right. You know, it's the network correctness is there. Your redundancy is there. You know, everything is working optimally. And so I had to do my own research. And, you know, that's what champions do. You got to do your research. You got to really find the best architectures, and then you got to prove those architectures out. Right. So I fell upon Aviatrix. I studied it. I reached out to a partner here that had a relationship with the Aviatrix team. I probably met with them within the first 2 weeks of my initial research and investigation of the product. And before you knew it, we're doing whiteboard sessions, and it was just me and Aviatrix. And I needed to prove it out myself before I took it to the security team or I took it to leadership. And so, you know, I'm a senior advanced networking architect. I can do these things. Nobody's going to question me. Oh, you've got a meeting with who? Aviatrix today? Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll let you know about it once I'm, you know, ready to let you know about it. Right. And that kind of thing. And so I met with the Aviatrix team here locally and even got to meet some guys that flew in from, you know, the West Coast. And we just started whiteboarding and understanding, you know, helped me understand more and more and more about the product. And then I had the ability or the confidence to take it to leadership. And once I did that, and they see the passion in my presentations, you know, I presented it just like I would present any solution that I've ever championed in as a customer, you know, on the customer side to leadership. Yeah. So,
And I think, Jeff, you did mention about importance of repetition, right? So that has always been something that has helped you a lot. So maybe something around that.
Yeah, sure. So I always say this, you know, you're never an expert until you've done it at least 1,000 times, right? And it comes back to, you know, I've in my past I was a USA wrestling coach. I have 5 boys, and I coached all 5 boys nationally, locally, state, and nationally. In wrestling for, you know, five to eight years. And, you know, they say in wrestling and in a lot of sports, you know, you're not proficient at that single leg takedown until you've done it 1,000 times, you know, and that's something that you practice over and over and over until you get it right. And then it becomes second nature. And, you know, it's the same concept with deploying architectures. It's the same concept with understanding architectures, networking architectures, you know, IT. You gotta repeat the process over and over and over and over until you're comfortable. And once you're comfortable, then things get easier. And it takes years for that, but you know, it's gotta be done. It's gotta be done.
Wow, Jeff, I was not aware of your full contact sports background. I'll remember never to upset you.
It's a martial art. It's a martial art. I don't use it.
That's great. So Jeff, what that's a great advice by the way for a lot of people or aspiring network architects, especially who are coming to the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, it's new to them, right? And when something is new, the only way to get better at it is to just do hands on and just keep repeating. Yep. Repetition is very important. Yep. I mean, that's what people are sort of learning from our ACE trainings as well, right? We have multiple mm-hmm. modules available, and it's in a way is a fast track for network security architects to get better in cloud and just continue doing and configuring things, you know, whether it's a Palo Alto firewall, checkpoint firewall, you know, configuring your VPCs and connectivity to data centers through DX or EX. All of those things comes as or becomes a second nature when you continue to play with it, right? And repetition is very important. But what would be your advice, right, to CIOs, CTOs, network security architects who sort of moving to the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they may be, you know, following the same journey of, okay, you have to fail fast and look at DIY, look at, you know, other on-prem vendors. But I think Gartner's recommendation is also becoming very, very crisp, right? Early on, they have been talking about multi-cloud, multi-region for a while now, but now I think they are also very openly talking about focusing on born in the cloud vendors like Evitrix for advanced capabilities and having that one architecture across multiple regions and clouds. So what would be your advice, right? Being that person that who has done it, been there, done that for a customer, what would be your advice to them?
Right. So there's obviously a skills gap. You're gonna see that right off the bat. You know, my recommendation to CTOs, you know, CIOs, is to really think about your landscape. You know, do you really have network engineers that are capable of deploying DIY in the cloud? Do you really have, you know, network security engineers or just security engineers in general that can do DIY? Do they have the skills background? You know, can they do it quickly? You know, can they ramp up knowledge quickly, right? And if that answer is no, then I say skip the DIY. Because even if that answer is yes, you're going to jump into DIY and then they're going to come back and say, you know what, that wasn't a good idea. Yeah. And, you know, so that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and that's a bit, sorry, Jeff, that's a bit I just want to double click on, because they always, you know, feel that they can do it even with the resources, the CCIEs, et cetera, that they have and the security sure. engineers they have. So they make their journey into their first cloud. They do some development themselves. They write a number of scripts. They work with, let's say, AWS, if that's their first CSP. And then they start to realize, you know, this is not really what I thought it would be. But then they're even still more reticent to change or to admit, look, I need to course correct here. You know, right. And they still, you know, I still get the feeling that some, especially big enterprises, they stay on the same path. They think mm-hmm. something is going to autocorrect by itself, but mm-hmm. it's not, you know. So they're doing mm-hmm. nothing different, but they're expecting different results.
Right.
And right. they're throwing people and money and all sorts of things at trying to course correct, but they're not course corrected because they're doing yeah. the same thing, DIYing, writing their scripts, working with the CSP. CSPs don't know everything. CSP definitely doesn't even know how a large enterprise works, you know, yeah. let alone carry their load. You know?
And John, I think it's, mm-hmm. I think you mentioned CCI. Mm-hmm. I think I can guarantee you that CCI cannot do it.
Yeah.
I'm a CCI. I have a lot of team members who are double CCIs. Cloud is very different.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You can fast track your knowledge by doing trainings on AWS networking and Azure networking and ACE professional. You can fast track that. But just by being a CCI, you know, cloud world is very, very different. So you probably will have to learn learn it and make sure you do it again and again to get better, understand the constructs, focus on architecture, because that's one of the things that CCIs and level of CCIs can bring to their business in the cloud, is that experience of building a production grade architecture, because that's the experience that CSP do not have. Right. And this is what they bring to the cloud, where they can bring the experience of how do you build a reliable, resilient, architecture with disaster recovery in place. You saw the outage yesterday, right? And went in a DevOps mode, just building things without looking at architecture, you probably would have be hurting right now. But, you know, the CCIs cannot do or learn cloud with the CCI knowledge, but they can pick it up. But what they can bring in is the level of experience on our architecture and how do you build a mission critical production grade in network and architecture on top of multiple clouds and back to the on-prem world. But you know, one other thing is, you know, DIY, you can maybe do it in day zero, day one, but the other thing that people miss out on, who's going to manage it and operate this in longer run?
Right.
Day two, right? And who's going to keep it up to date? Because I'm working with a few customers already, right? And one of them actually, they lost two of their cloud architects who did their DIY on the same day, went to the same customer, some other vendor. So basically they left the customer holding the bag with all of the DIY knowledge and scripting knowledge gone. And now they are struggling to even just to manage what they already have. Forget about it, optimizing the environment, but they are sort of struggling. And now new people coming, they will have to understand what was done. There's no platform, there's no team, there's no engineering, there's no support that can stand behind what they built. So that's why I think what enterprises are saying is, you know, enterprises are there to consume. They're not a software house, and it's actually a business risk if you try to go in and just start to build, you know, just scripting and DIY without having a proper focus on how it's going to be managed in day two. So that's another learning that people are sort of, and that's why I think Gartner recommendation came out that, you know, shortlist Evitrix and similar cloud horsemen, right? It may be, as Jeff, you were saying, right, they're championing different cloud horsemen, right? And they are different at different layers. You may have HashiCorp for automation. You may have Snowflake for, you know, DB layer. You have Evitrix for obviously cloud networking security, but then you will have Datadog or somebody else monitoring. But you have these cloud horsemen who are the real vendors in the cloud that you will have to champion and collectively they basically progress your business and give you that edge you're looking for in the digital world.
Yeah, that's definitely the, you know, that is very important because, you know, you do it. I mean, and you talk about CCIEs and the experience that CCIEs bring to the cloud. Sure, because we've all been through it, right? Yeah. We've had our failures. We've had our successes. We know, you know, what happened in 1995 or year 2000. We remember when we brought the data center down or we brought the wide area network down, and we know what it takes to not ever do that again. Right. And you don't want to have to go back to, you know, to ground zero, start all over.
As a
company. So you have to champion, you know, Cisco was I championed Cisco for a very long time, just like a lot of people did. I championed, you know, McAfee for protocol analysis. I championed Riverbed for wide area network optimization. You know what I mean? It's no different in the cloud. I'm going to champion Aviatrix. I'm going to champion other things, you know, other vendors to get the right solutions in place.
Yeah. Those traditional vendors, they were a point in time. They're still relevant, but relevant for on-prem. And unfortunately for them, you know, I don't know how much longer they're going to survive. I'm sure they'll be here for another decade or two. But unless they have a great cloud, secure cloud networking solution that comes across soon, then, you know, they're going to remain on-prem and, you know, it's going to be limited, selling boxes. End of life.
Born in the cloud means a lot, you know.
Yeah. CVEs, you know. I'm glad I left that life behind.
Yeah. So, Jeff, one question I have is, you know, for people who are looking at Evitrix, right? And obviously, you know, people are moving at their own pace. There are different partners and SIs like Accenture and Wipro and TCS. They're helping people with migrating applications to the cloud. So let's say if you are that architect or, you know, CIO, CTO, decision maker, who are looking at Evitrix, what do you think would be their journey and how would they phase this out? Is it something that, okay, start with few use cases, you know, build, you know, test it out with, you know, few VPCs, you may have a really large environment, right? You know, 1,000 VPCs, you know, 10,000 VPCs. What would be your recommendation and how did Republic Airways went about deploying Aviatrix in phases? Or was it like a, the brownfield approach where, you know, you did your discovery and then you did a cutover? What was your, your recommendation? I know that there's no one size fits all, but how would you tackle that?
Well, you know, really, you definitely got to do a proof of value. You got to deploy a simple architecture first. Might be just FireNet and a couple transits and a couple VPCs. It might just be AWS and Azure. It could just be one of the CSPs in multiple regions. You need to get your feet wet. You need to deploy the product. You need to see just right out of the box, you know, does it work for me? Is it viable? Does it make sense? And then when you do that, you build your confidence and then you can say, hey, I could deploy this in Greenfield and then I can brownfield the rest. Right. And I did that. We had AWS presence for a lot of our tier one apps. And I had to prove it out in a Greenfield, actually in a sandbox environment first. And then I actually got the approval to Greenfield it. And once I got that approval, you know, it was all steam ahead and I built my Azure and AWS environments. And then I started bringing in and consuming the brownfield AWS environments that were already there. And once they saw the topology view and Copilot, once they saw the ease that, you know, it put on the networking and security teams with FireNet and with just the routing and the multi-cloud networking and all of this. And I was able to sit down in meetings with my CIO and my directors, cloud ops directors, you know, we had a cloud council. And once I showed them all these things and once the systems engineering and DevOps guys saw it, I mean, it just became, everybody fell in love with Aviatrix. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, and once you have that, the rest is easy, right? It becomes an easy button for everybody. I'd sit in a meeting and they'd say, well, we need to do this, 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 and this. Hey, we need to go to Google because we got to look at Looker. How are we going to do that, Jeff? Oh, don't worry about it. We'll do it with Aviatrix.
Yeah.
Right. And that great became point, the answer.
Jeff, I think you brought up another important point that I think in on-prem world, there are so many, because it's a mature market, right? It's a mature landscape and there are so many vendors out there who have tools and products for every little thing that you want. They have monitoring product, security product, compliance product, antivirus product. When it comes to cloud, people are just looking for help. They just don't have the visibility. They don't have control. The products that were working in on-prem does not work in the cloud. So being in that data plane, right? Aviatrix being in that data plane where we are able to see every flow that's traversing your network, whether it's regions or clouds or back to the on-prem world, we're able to show so much good analytical information for different teams to do their job and make their business successful. There's something for security teams around anomaly detection, around threat, around a heat map of traffic and trends coming from various different countries. There's compliance in terms of configuration changes, you know, deviation from deltas and normal standards. Obviously, you know, there is, your operations team can look at capacity planning, you know, alerts, things that might be deviating from, things that you want to monitor as risks, right? So there's everything that you can imagine, you know, there's something for everybody. And the key point is the access to the flow, right, where you can look for data exfiltration, data breaches, because I think this is where people are hurting, where, you know, cloud being, most of the clouds being black boxes, they are just not have visibility to the flows where they can take actions, right? I'm a security team, I'm an operations team, I'm a capacity planning team, I'm a compliance team, but I can't do my job unless I can see things. And I think Aviatrix is that platform that's able to provide this visibility. Yep.
Absolutely.
For these teams to operate on. And I think this, in a way, brings everybody together, right? This is why I think you were able to go to your DevOps team for automation, for your compliance team, for security team, because we bring everything together as part of that network security and network cloud native networking platform.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The visibility is unmatched, right? I have a customer that I showed Threat IQ and Threat Guard to, and they're like, this can't be right. I'm like, oh, it's right. You know, they're like, wow, this is going on in my environment. I said, yeah. So you didn't know until you had this tool, until you had this, until it's not a tool, it's a platform. It's a, it's, you know, Aviatrix is a data plane platform for multi-cloud networking as well as a control, right? Because we control that. And being able to, you know, pull that visibility into Copilot with Threat IQ on my line, I could just see my customers' eyes must have just gotten really, really big, because they're like, wow, look at all of these instances, these VMs that are sending, you know, some type of malicious something or another to bad actors on the internet. They couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, the aha, wow, can't believe this is going on. Now, that's not to say that it's crippling their network. It's things they didn't know existed, right? And now they have more visibility. It's always, that's so key. Even in the on-prem days, it still is on-prem, right?
And you don't get that sort of visibility and analytics, not certainly through a single tool on-prem. You'd have to buy off of them.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And then the frustration of the operator looking at multiple platforms.
Oh, yeah. I used Riverbed's NPO visualizer, or the network profiler, and their whole suite cost millions of dollars.
I think the security postures in the cloud, need to be figured out. It's different from non-prem world. A lot of people, they're just sort of moving their Palo Alto's, for example, in the cloud, a centralized inspection mechanism, and it doesn't work because cloud works in a very different way. You know, you have internet access available from every VPC.
Right.
You might not even be getting hairpin to that single firewall. Right, so you need to have a built-in security, not a bolted on always, right? So it needs to be holistic. It needs to be embedded into the network layer. That's why I think Aviatrix is a multi-cloud native networking and network security platform where we are embedded in, right? You can see the flows right on the gateway inside the VPC, and you can block it when you see a security threat as a breach. So this is where I think yesterday I was on a call, and you know, the customer has a centralized Palo Alto firewall. When we sort of launched that Threat IQ, we saw 5,200 threats talking to malicious known IP addresses. And they say, okay, I have Palo Alto. I say, you do have Palo Alto, but looks like something is not working, because in a way, you know, not having the understanding of how cloud works, what are different traffic flows, how your apps are talking to the outside world or to ingress or egress, is a different than on-prem, right? So having that embedded security into your data plane is very critical. And yeah, you do rely on your firewalls for L7. We do our policy inspection and steer that for whatever L7 you need, but it has to be a bolted on security. It has to be visibility of flows. It has to be understanding of how data exfiltration can happen in your environment. Otherwise, you know, it will be too late before you get to know, and the business risk will be way too high. So I think, John, we are about time. We forgot to ask Jeff question about he likes tea or coffee.
Yeah,
right?
So Jeff.
So maybe something, and then maybe, you know, leave us with one or two key takeaways.
Yeah, what's your preference? Tea, coffee, something else?
Well, my preference is a cold beer, but
cold beer.
You know, no, I like coffee. I like tea, but I don't drink it very often. I drink maybe half a cup of coffee a day.
Oh wow, that's good. That's good. And the other half's a nice cold Budweiser or something.
I do like a Bud Light every once in a while.
That's fantastic. So Jeff, you know, for the benefit of our audience, could you leave one or two key takeaways, lessons learned, what to avoid, anything additional that you'd like to share, for our audience to learn from?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a key takeaway, you know, from my experience, and I'm going back 25 years to now, and in the last, you know, 5 years to the cloud, you know, a key takeaway is don't be afraid to take the risk on new technology. Don't be afraid to take the risk to go to a to a platform like Aviatrix. You know, don't hold on to the old dinosaurs. Don't hold on to, you know, ideas that you had 10 years ago. You know, if you're doing that, you're going to probably fail. And, you know, you just got to think forward and take risks, just like we did 20 years ago. It was a risk to, you know, put in that core data center and do it the way you thought was best. You had to do the research. You had to do the investigation. You had to champion it up the leadership ladder. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to do that. I did it. And I'm so glad I did, because, you know, Republic Airways posture, you know, in the cloud is 10 times better today for the Aviatrix platform that they have. And you know what? I can sleep well at night. I can say that I did my best. And, you know, and that's really, that's what's important to me. I want to say I did my best, and I don't want somebody to come behind me and say, oh man, that was the worst idea ever. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's just not how I like to, you know, end my, you know, my life. It's not how I want to end my life.
Yeah, it's all that's about leaving the legacy behind. I think, and Jeff, you did a great job on that.
You did. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I love that analogy about old dinosaurs roaming the surface of the earth. I think if people have not listened to Steve Molyneux's
on
Cube last week at ReInvent, I think they should watch it. Probably one of the best interviews I've heard from Steve. All right, I think this is really great, Jeff. Such good learnings. I'm sure that our audience will benefit from it. And you know, people who want to learn more about Aviatrix, reach out to us. And obviously, Jeff is now here at Aviatrix, so he can definitely help you share his experiences and even handhold you on some of your things that you want to do in your cloud journey, which is very, very positive for our customers. So thank you so much, Jeff.
Hey, thanks
a lot, Jeffrey. Very enlightening. Appreciate you taking the time. I think our audience will learn a lot from this.
Awesome. Have a good one.
Thank you.